Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. All right. The first question is, and I guess it's to both of you, after so many years, how do you keep your ministry from becoming routine or rote?
You keep it from being routine or rote.
I have a daily quiet time, and I pray every day, and I read, I know the bishop does too, and I read the Bible every day. My practice at the moment is to read the Bible throughout the year, and so I do that often in various different translations year by year, but I, as a rule, read the Bible throughout the year. I try and read regularly. I try and listen to various input regularly. And I have a wife who is very good at offering advice.
We also, Mary Ellen and I, since my office is about 13 steps from my bedroom, I don't have a long commute. Mary Ellen and I spend morning prayer each day. I also have I use a scripture union for Bible study and several other chapters of the Bible. And we routinely pray for each one of you in any situations we know that you might benefit with prayer. It's never been, for me, routine. It's exciting each day.
I'd like to add two things. We do have representatives of Scripture Union here. Could they stand so we can acknowledge them if they're in the house? Thank you. And our sister, she's downstairs. I think they're going to briefly speak tomorrow, but there are Scripture Union materials here, and I commend them to you. I also, in my daily quiet time, this is not quite part of the question, Matt, but Brenda, I'm looking to you. Might I have my phone back? In your synod package, you received some information, thank you, sir, about a prayer app that was commended to me by Canon Henry Jansma. And if you are a user of apps, I'm going to ask you to take out your synod pack. Do it now. And take out, someone might hold it up, the little piece of paper that describes the app called PrayerMate. Does anybody have it there so we can show folk exactly what I'm talking about? Thank you. Can you stand up and just hold that out? And there is a QR code on that. For those of you technophobes that know what that is, you can scan that. And you will automatically be able to download this app called PrayerMate. Cana East has a weekly feed on this app. So the weekly prayers that are prayed by the church, during the church, the prayers of the people on a Sunday are also available every week on this app if you set it up to come on Sunday mornings, which is what I do, so that we're all praying the same prayer. There are various other things that you can do. This has helped me to, with integrity, when you hear me say to you, thank you for sharing that with me, I will keep you in my prayers, and you see me diving to my phone, I will put it in PrayerMate. And I encourage the uses of that, and I'm very grateful to our canon theologian for drawing this to my attention.
Okay, the next question is a tough one. What is your favorite color?
Well, after the banter that was going on at the business table about my description of colors, I'm nervous to ask. Did you ask that question, Mr. Chancellor? Did you text that? He refuses to answer. People might think that I like purple. I'm a pretty plain color sort of guy, really. In fact, you will find both of your bishops from time to time don't dress in purple. Yes, and we're some of the only bishops that do that, but just as our habit and preference to look more like Archbishop Cranmer. I'm not sure if that's the reason, but anyway, I don't know if there's a favorite color for me. I'm a plain color sort of guy. I can more easily tell the difference between black than white than I obviously can than mauve and purple.
You've seen your socks.
Yes. Yes, but today I have black socks on, you see, and they have Reformation scripture on the side of them. Given to me yesterday by Dr. Null.
One of our granddaughters tells me my favorite color is navy blue. Some days it's Marine Green, and once in a while it's Air Force Blue.
I guess I could follow that up with what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? But I won't.
560 knots.
Great. Okay. Here is a more serious question. As a woman who loves Jesus, not me, this is a question. As a woman, I have to clarify that nowadays. As a woman who loves Jesus, theology, and discipline, why would I pursue the title of deacon?
Thank you, Matt. I'd probably answer that question by saying, why would anyone consider the office of deacon rather than the title of deacon? Lord willing, what you'll see Bishop Dave and I do tomorrow is ordain four men to the diaconate. Yes, they will have a title, but they haven't pursued the title. They have responded to the call of God on their lives to serve in holy orders in the church. And so I've made it my business over the years of my episcopacy thus far to ensure that people understand a response to considering holy orders, male or female, is with regards to a vocation from God. That is why they are holy orders. And yes, there are various titles. Today, three archdeacons were made. They get fancy new titles called venerables. I hope that they weren't pursuing the title. They were pursuing what they sensed was a call of God to serve. And so I would encourage anyone, male or female, who is sensing some call to holy orders as a deacon, to pay close attention to what the diaconate is in our service tomorrow. Because that is outlined very carefully and specifically for us in the ordination liturgy. And it was important to Archbishop Cranmer that was outlined, the office and work of the deacon in the church. And so I would respond more with regards to vocation and call as I would with regards to pursuing title.
No comment.
Okay, the next two questions are related. They can probably be combined into one. So let me just ask it as one question. What is the official relationship of Cana East with first the ACNA and then secondly with the Church of Nigeria?
I'll do ACNA.
So as far as our relationship with the Anglican Church in North America, we are part of the Anglican Church in North America. Cana was a founding partner in forming the ACNA. We are a diocese of the ACNA, and Bishop Dobbs and I attend and participate and help lead the bishops' meetings of the ACNA. So we are we're part of ACNA.
We're also part of the Church of Nigeria, Anglican Communion. It's the official title of the Church of Nigeria, Anglican Communion. And Bishop Dave is a retired bishop of that church. I'm an active bishop of that church. And you heard me mention in my pastoral address, I serve amongst 168 other bishops of the Church of Nigeria, Anglican Communion, as does Bishop Felix Orji, the Bishop of Cana West, Bishop Amos Fagbamie, the Bishop of the Anglican Diocese of the Trinity, and Bishop Jones, who is a member of that house as well, who oversees the special jurisdiction. And so we have, I believe, the great privilege of being connected both to the Church of Nigeria, Anglican Communion, who founded Cana, and to the Anglican Church in North America, whom we helped found as a founding jurisdiction. So we're a diocese of the ACNA, and we are in that province. We're also in the province of the Anglican Church of Nigeria, Anglican Communion. Maybe I might also explain it like this. 3 weeks ago, I had the privilege to go back to New Zealand, and I was invited to go to speak to GAFCON New Zealand, the GAFCON expression of the Anglican Church in New Zealand. And when I flew into Auckland, New Zealand, I did two things. I looked out the window, and I thought, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And I pulled out my New Zealand passport, and I crossed the border as a Kiwi, and that was a good thing for me. I was going home. But while I was there, my heart was yearning to come home. And so when I left New Zealand, I pulled out my American passport. And I gave it to the woman at the check-in and said, I'm so much looking forward to going home. And I came home to Virginia. In fact, I remember ringing Bishop Dave and I said, Bishop, it is just so good to be home. But I went home to New Zealand and I came home to Virginia. And I see that very much like our relationship with the ACNA. I'm very much at home in the ACNA, I'm Bishop of the ACNA. When I go to Nigeria, I feel very much at home in the Church of Nigeria Anglican Communion.
And I might just add a little history. Most of you know this history, but in the 12 or 13 years ago, when the Episcopal Church had kind of warring parties, Archbishop Akinola of the Church of Nigeria graciously invited us to become part of that church so that, in his words, we might have an Orthodox Anglican presence in this land. And we can never forget the great gift that the Church of Nigeria Anglican Communion has given to us.
Thank you. And I think you can see by both the letters of greeting from both our archbishops how much of an interest they take in the life of our particular diocese.
Okay, great. The next question is, what is GAFCON and will we be represented?
GAFCON is the Global Anglican Future Conference. It's got a little bit of a name discrepancy thing going on because sometimes it's called the Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans. But in fact, they're tending now to just call it GAFCON, which is not a word, but it's becoming a word. And so GAFCON is the Global Anglican Future Conference. It's met twice. It's met firstly in Jerusalem in 2008. That's referenced in our diocesan constitution. And it's met then in Nairobi, Kenya. It's about to meet again in Jerusalem, 2018. And we will be represented. It is the gathering together of the evangelical Anglican community around the world, provinces, dioceses, clergy, bishops, archbishops, who will meet together in Jerusalem next month, and this diocese will be strongly represented. And if you are going to GAFCON and you are here, would you please stand so that the members of the house can see who will be at GAFCON? Thank you. Carl Iberg is raising his hand. So you can see him down the back, and Faith will be there as well. So we will be, thank you, strongly represented at the GAFCON province, GAFCON meeting in Jerusalem, and it will be a privilege for us to represent you all there. The GAFCON group also invites dioceses to belong. You'll remember that we voted last year here in this building to become a member diocese of GAFCON. So we're also members as a diocese of GAFCON. You can become part of GAFCON personally. I'm a member of GAFCON. If you go to gafcon.org. In fact, where is Mr. GAFCON? Where are you, sir? Kayangyang, Archdeacon. Come and tell us what people do to become a member of GAFCON.
Go to the website and sign up
and you'll find more. I encourage you to do that. It's something that's worthy of your attention and consideration.
There will be about 2,000 delegates in the city of Jerusalem from all over the Anglican world. We're very excited about this happening.
Oh, there's information in your packet about that as well, so if you want to look that up. Okay, so let's see. When can we expect our Book of Common Prayer to be available for use in our parishes?
I'm assuming the question is relating to the liturgies of the Anglican Church in North America, because we have a Book of Common Prayer that is available to us, and we've heard much about it at the Synod, and we've heard that the Lord has used it powerfully in the replanted Church of the Redeemer in Orlando, Florida, to bring a young man to faith. It's called the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, so we have a Book of Prayer, but I don't think that's the intention of the question. I think the question's intention is asking about the ACNA liturgies. They are available to you now. If you go to the Anglican Church in North America website, you will find many of the liturgies we've been using at the Synod. Our morning and evening offices, morning offices at least, are offices of the ACNA. The office we'll use this evening comes from the 1662 book. But they are available to you. The book will be printed. But obviously, today we're very much in an electronic age, and many congregations, including in our own diocese, use the liturgies by printing them, and they're available to you now online. I commend that resource to you. Go to the Anglican Church in North America website, you'll see all the liturgies there, and they're available. A book should be printed in 2019.
Okay, and this is the last question. I was going to rephrase this in a different way. Let me phrase it better here. What books are you reading at the moment? But, of course, we assume the Bible is in there, so that you can't say the Bible, because we know that. Something else besides that.
Well, one book I'm reading right now is an Oxford book of Anglican theology through the ages. And another is The Kremlin Candidate, which is a book about the CIA. So I try to maintain nonfiction and fiction at the same time. Sometimes I get them mixed up.
My practice is to have a couple of books on the go, and I like to read books about people whose historical figures who have impacted our world, so that I can learn from their strengths and their weaknesses. So I've begun to read a book about a man called James Cook. Does anyone know who James Cook was? Thank you. Captain James Cook, who was significantly involved in the British exploration in Canada and protection in Canada, also in Indonesia, and most pertinent for me in 1776, discovered New Zealand. And so I'm learning much about him. I'm learning much about his interest in leadership and how the Lord used him. I've just had the privilege of reading a book that's not yet published. And so I'll commend it to you for when it is published. And it was written by last year's Synod speaker, Dr. Lee Gatiss. It's called Light After Darkness. And I had the privilege of reading that and commenting on it. And it will be released soon. And I encourage you to take a copy of that when it is available. It is fantastic. I do read the Bible.
I assumed that. I did. Okay, I think it's the last question. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you all. God bless you.